You're right, Rock. They're not going to be happy about that in Pittsburgh. Right before the puck is about ready to drop, Nashville Predators fan has a catfish wrapped in a terrible towel and thrown on the ice in Pittsburgh. And you can see the stands, the fans there were kind of like pointing that guy out. So I'm sure he was escorted out by security. But if you're a Nashville Predators fan, I would say that's worth it. Wouldn't you? I mean, provided that you're not going to be thrown in jail.
Definitely worth it. Also, side note, just because we're talking about the Steelers item at a Penguins game, I think Congress needs to pass an act that if you are a new if you're a new city and you're adding a team, that team has to carry the same color scheme as at least one of the other professional teams in that city. Because I love that Pittsburgh has all three cities
that they're all
three
teams all black and yellow.
Black and yellow. And I think if you have a new team, you should have to you should have to correspond. Like I think the Vegas Golden Knights should retroactively have to switch their jerseys to silver and black.
Speaking of silver and black jerseys, I'm going to wear one tomorrow that's probably going to make you sick, Rocky. Oh, I got it in the mail today. And I'm proudest punch that I got this one.
You got a Marshawn Lynch jersey already?
I got a Marshawn Lynch jersey already. I did.
Oh my God.
I got a Marshawn Lynch jersey already. I'm like, that's going to be my first Las Vegas Raiders jersey. And yep, there it is. Silver and black, baby. I'm going to be as annoying as I can be about it.
That's so disappointing.
Have a text coming in from Crash. What's up, Matt and Rock? It's been a while. Hope all is well with you guys. All is well, Crash. And I know Crash is hurting, man. He loves the Cardinals more than almost anything. And he's got to be really bumming.
I'm surprised Crash peeled himself off the floor, put the bottle down, and got a text off. Jesus. He has been wallowing for over a month now, that poor guy.
He loves
it. I'm pretty sure he started a celebration bender halfway through that, like, you know, that 12-game winning streak the Cardinals have, and it just turned into a sadness bender and hasn't ended since.
It's not good. I feel bad for, like, the diehard Cardinal fans. I really feel sorry for. Like, I think baseball's the only sport that Crash really likes. Like, I know he follows the Blues hockey. I think he follows a little bit of Mizzou, but, like, baseball is his absolute favorite. And could you imagine looking forward to the baseball season all year, and the baseball season is so long, and then you get this crappy team? You look forward to it, and now you're going to have this team more than likely all summer long. Like, I don't know what the hell you and I are going to do in July. When the NBA draft is over, the NHL draft is over.
Destroy Mike Matheny on a regular basis.
Yeah, it's going to be slim pickings.
It'll be quite enjoyable.
We may have to have a seance to see if we can get a hold of Slim Pickens in the afterlife. Talk about Blazing Saddles and Dr. Strangelove.
Oh,
there we go. Now you know what I'm talking about.
You actually had to give me the reference on that one. Johnson.
Olson Johnson's right about Howard Johnson being right. KFNS is hosting a live version of the number one professional wrestling podcast in the world, Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard, the former right-hand man to WWE CEO Vince McMahon. The show will take place at South Broadway Athletic Club from 2 to 4 p.m. before WWE's Money in the Bank at Scottrade Center on June 18th. VIP and general admission tickets are available at notarib.com. Also a reminder that we will have the legend himself, Mean Gene Okerlund, on our program Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock. So, Rock, let's talk about Game 3 last night between the Cavaliers and the Golden State Warriors, which was a really great basketball game. Probably the best game of the playoffs so far. And that was Cleveland's best punch, and Golden State just took it for 46 minutes, and then the 48, they were kind of like, yep, this is where we're going to take over. This is where our stars are going to shine. This is why we got Kevin Durant, and it paid off.
Yeah, it really says something. It speaks volumes that the Cavaliers can outplay the Warriors for 44 minutes, I'd say. And then the last 4 minutes go to complete hell. They let things sloop. Their defense gets sloppy. They fail to foul when they should. And then they lose. I mean, that's – you literally outplayed the other team for 90% of the game. And simply because of that 10% was so bad, and you didn't get much of a lead out of that first 90% when you were winning the game, it's just not enough. I mean, it speaks to how – exponentially better the Warriors are right now than any other NBA team, basically because of Kevin Durant.
And it really is basically because of Kevin Durant, because if you've noticed, Draymond Green's been pretty quiet in the finals. He's rebounding and he's making plays, but he's not scoring a whole lot. And guess what? They don't need him to.
Well, they don't need him to score to win. So
they don't. Well, they don't now because they got Kevin Durant. Before, they kind of needed him, and now they really don't. And it seems like Steph Curry's playing so much better in this finals than he has in the past, too. And I think a part of it is because he's finally healthy. The past couple of months, he really hasn't been healthy going into the finals. This year, he is healthy, and now you're seeing it, too, because he's been really good. Not as good as Durant, but he's been really good. And if you're LeBron, I don't know what the hell you do. I know Peter said that maybe he'll leave Cleveland and go someplace else, but I can't think of another place where he could go where he's going to be right there contending for a title and with a better team than what he's got right now.
See, somehow, I don't know, you of all people as a Heat fan, I don't know how you're throwing off this Lakers talk like it's completely useless.
It is completely useless.
It's not, because the Lakers have enough.
No, I see Joe in there, and he's not going to the Lakers, Joe.
They have enough money. I'm sorry. They have enough money.
Okay.
They have the players that they can shed. Hold on a second. That they can go the exact way the Heat did, a little different, and they can sign both PG-13, Paul George, and LeBron James in one fell swoop.
Okay.
That right there, combined with Lonzo Ball, I'm sorry, that's 50 games.
You think Lonzo Ball put together with those two is going to be good enough to take down Golden State?
Well, that's
you like Lonzo Ball better than you like Kyrie Irving?
Well, that's two guys who can that's two guys who can shoot well over 40% from deep. That's three guys who can handle the ball in the pick and roll, including two guys who are big enough that they can be both the roller and the handler in a pick and roll in Paul George and LeBron James. I think Lonzo Ball is incredibly talented, and that's my point.
I'm not saying that Lonzo Ball isn't talented, but if you're trying to tell me Lonzo Ball is better than Kyrie Irving, I think you're out of your mind.
No, but I think Paul George is. I think Paul George is at a different level than Kevin Love.
I'll give you that. And Paul George is a better player than what Kevin Love is,
and that's why PG-13, LeBron, and Lonzo might be something that LeBron James can get behind. Now, obviously, this completely changes on how much LeBron thinks of Lonzo. Because if he thinks that Lonzo's a rookie who can put up 17-6-6, I think LeBron goes in. But if he thinks
you're putting an awful lot of faith in a kid that's going to be 2 years removed from high school.
That's fine, but that's not new, and it's not like we haven't seen plenty of kids after 1 year in college come to the NBA and give us top three picks, give us 17-7-7. I mean, it's not every day, but even guys who haven't been that great as top three picks, they get that in the first 2 years. Usually it's because they're on crappier teams, but my point is that the guy's going to be able to put up numbers, and while, I'm sure if, they could somehow make Markelle Fultz work, and hell, man, I don't know, what if the Lakers could do that? What if the Lakers could use D'Angelo or Julius Randle, or probably not, maybe even Brandon Ingram, and they use one of those guys as a way to move to number one? You get Markelle Fultz, and now it's Markelle Fultz, PG-13, and LeBron James.
I still don't think
that's something.
I'm not saying that's a bad team. I'm just saying that I don't think that's good enough to take down Golden State.
You know why it's almost good enough to take down Golden State?
Why?
Because it's the only lineup in the NBA it's the only lineup that has LeBron James in it that would have the defensive versatility to hold on to the Golden State Warriors. Because you have that lineup, you have LeBron. You can put LeBron on Draymond, and you can put PG-13 on Kevin Durant, and obviously now you got to still deal with Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, but LaVar's long, 6'6". Maybe he could play Klay Thompson. I'm just saying, it's one of the few runs.
I don't see PG-13 locking down Kevin Durant, though.
I do. I mean,
Kevin Durant.
It's locking down, Berger. I mean, it's like we call what Kawhi Leonard did to LeBron James locking down. LeBron still scored 27 points per game in that
series.
So
instead of 35, Kevin Durant's going to score 30?
But when you're talking about, that can be the margin that matters when you're talking about Kevin Durant on this team. And that's the thing, though, is that trading Kevin Love for PG-13 makes them such a better defensive team from the get-go. Because Paul George can, much like LeBron, Paul George can seemingly, especially now in today's NBA with the way centers are now, Paul George can guard all five spots, much like LeBron James can. You have to have two of those players to compete with the Warriors. I'm trying to figure out a lineup that can compete with the Warriors. And right now, unless you find a way to get LeBron and Kawhi on the same team, LeBron and Paul George on the same team is the closest thing I can come up with.
I think LeBron's best case is going to be to stay in Cleveland and just try to reconstruct that roster. They have to get younger, though. They have an old bench. My God, their bench is so old. And they look old out there, too. And they had to find something to do with Tristan Thompson. Is Tristan Thompson, even though he's not old, but is his style of play, is it kind of being made extinct in the NBA now?
No. See, the thing is that they gave him that contract when his style was already extinct. But they decided that their one way that they might be able to do something different, because Tristan Thompson was the guy they had available to sign, was we're going to zig where everybody else is zagging in one part of the game, which is everyone else in the NBA is completely ignoring offensive rebounds. If everyone else in the NBA is doing that, if we're the one team who's trying to focus on rebounds or has a guy who can crash the offensive boards, we can use that to make a little change, maybe beat some people. In fact, it's because of that little change that Tristan Thompson was so good in the finals last year and that they won the finals last year. They don't win the finals last year if Tristan Thompson doesn't go ham on the offensive boards those last three games. And so it is undoubtedly a style that is not prevalent in the NBA. The NBA had been like that for about a year before you gave him that contract. So you knew you were putting money into a style that did not work on a wide level anymore. But the fact of the matter is that the fact that you have something that nobody else has helped you win a title last year. And it's not working this year, but the fact of the matter is
such a non-factor.
Yeah, and that's because unlike last year when he dominated, especially the game when Draymond was out, but even when Draymond was in, they'd go to the lineup of death. At the time, Draymond was the five, and Tristan Thompson ate a lot of points off that because he was getting offensive boards that Draymond couldn't handle. Here's the problem right now is that in the new lineup of death, Kevin Durant is the five. And even though Tristan Thompson is still getting isn't getting offensive boards because he's not hustling like he was last year. Second of all, he's not getting boards because Kevin Durant has an extra 6 inches on his wingspan than Draymond Green did last year. And two, Kevin Durant is making Tristan Thompson pay more on the defensive end than Draymond Green was able to last year.
He was doing
great on penetration.
I can understand
single-handedly leveling possessions.
Tristan Thompson not scoring, I can kind of understand, but him not getting any boards, I don't understand.
That's hand in hand. He only scores when he gets boards.
Okay, but getting defensive rebounds, I don't understand why he's not even getting any of those either.
Because there haven't been many missed shots.
I think it's been. You know what? You're not going to like it, but I'm blaming your girl. I'm blaming your girl.
That's the dumbest thing in the world.
I'm blaming the Kardashians.
Stop.
Tell me I'm wrong.
He was dating a Kardashian last year when he helped him win the finals.
Sometimes it takes that Kardashian virus to kind of get going.
No, it's literally we just said what happened. We're seeing a player who is not efficient in today's game getting exposed by the best team that's ever been put together. Can we not blame that on his girl?
Nope, I'm blaming her.
Ridiculous. That's so.
Uncalled
for.
See what happens next year when Tristan Thompson dumps Khloe Kardashian and becomes an MVP candidate.
Again, none of this will matter because, again, much like the Madden curse, it was broken last year. Okay,
the Madden curse has been broken many times.
He won the finals while dating her, and he showed out the finals while dating her. It wasn't like he cringed long enough on the bench to not screw it all up for the Cavs last year. He was one of the reasons they won.
I think it's hysterically funny. Hysterically funny that suddenly Kevin Durant is now the greatest player in the world. Like, just like that. That's all it took was three NBA Finals games. And, LeBron's no longer the best player in the world. Is now Kevin Durant. No. Come on now. LeBron is still the better player than what Kevin Durant is. Yeah. Not saying that Kevin Durant isn't a great player, but LeBron is better.
That's fine. But you know what the problem with that is boom, boom, the argument's over. And we have segment time left, Berger. That's why who cares if that's the truth?
I'm not saying we're not going to talk about it. I'm just saying it's ridiculous.
That's not why people aren't bringing up the point to be logical. People are bringing up the point because it's fun to bring up the point.
Because the finals have not been worth talking about other than that reason.
Boom. There. Yes, exactly. Thank you. And it's because he's showing out in LeBron. I mean, Lord, LeBron is doing amazing right now. I mean, it's unbelievable what he's doing.
I feel terrible for him, actually.
I don't. He built this team.
He did, but I mean, like, you're out there, and you're laying it all out there on the court, and knowing that your best isn't good enough.
You built this team, fool. You are the GM. You can go bitch to Dan Gilbert about not having enough money for new players all you want. You are the GM. You built this team. You decided to hitch your wagon to a point guard who couldn't defend anybody, a big man who can't score unless he's pulling on offensive rebounds, and a power forward who can shoot threes, and that's great for 2017, but the real problem is that
every other aspect of being a big man who can shoot threes in 2017, he's completely absent of.
And he's, a huge defensive liability.
That's
what their problem is.
Well, that's my point.
And that's got to drive LeBron the most crazy is that defensively they're terrible.
That's what I just said, because, again, if you can be a big man who shoots threes nowadays, it doesn't matter. You have to be able to move your feet and play defense in one way or another. That's why Chris Bosh was as valuable as he was, because Chris Bosh changed the player he was. Kevin Love didn't do that. And that's the crazy thing in my mind is that Kevin Love was built – set to be exactly what LeBron wanted. Maybe not the defensive side, but if Bosh can step his defense up on a team with LeBron, you figured Kevin Love might be able to, especially when he does it on the final possession of the freaking finals.
When the big three first got together in Miami, they worked on defense more than they worked on anything else,
yes,
because
they
knew that offensively they're just going to kind of figure out as they went. But if they were stellar defensively, then they were really going to have something. And that turned out to be the case.
And so, it's LeBron's fault. I mean, you built a flawed team, man. I don't know what made them think this. I mean, this construction worked last year. I think they got. I maintain they got lucky last year because this construction.
But until the finals, they lost one playoff game though.
If you didn't have Tristan Thompson, maybe this could work because you could get away with the fact that maybe you could play, you know, Kevin Love as your small ball five. You could completely ignore defense completely. But the fact that you have the money bringing you down on Tristan Thompson, it's just this team. I mean, the Cavaliers are an attempt to build the exact kind of team you need for 2017, but you're missing a few key parts. I mean, it's a well-conceived thing. There's a lot of shooting. There's a lot of length. There's not a lot of wasted time on guys who can score in the post literally at all other than Tristan Thompson. There's shooting. There's length. There's speed. There's ball movement. That's what you want in 2017. But there's just those little things that make everything happen are missing, while with the Warriors, they literally built the optimal team for right now.
If you're Tyronn Lue, do you think maybe tomorrow night, because you've got nothing to lose, do you maybe not start Tristan Thompson and start Channing Frye and go with a smaller lineup and see what that can do? I think I would.
Yeah, I actually wouldn't do that. I'd throw caution to the wind completely. I'd start him on Shumpert instead of Tristan Thompson. You want to go small? I'll go small.
That's really small.
Yes. In fact, let's go. First to 140. Let's play this game. That's the bottom line. Is the reason the Cavaliers are losing right now is because they didn't focus on defense the way he did in Miami. Because they played this entire regular season as if the finals against the Warriors was going to be whoever could score 130 most first wins. That's what they played this entire regular season like. We're just going to score as many points as we can. We're going to do it faster and more efficient than you can. And to hell with the defense. That works against anybody but a team who's better than you offensively and also good defensively.
Let's take a commercial break, and then final segment of the night, we're going to continue talking about the NBA Finals. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.